I think about a book as just, it's the ultimate business card because it teaches the methodology, it starts the conversation, and it brings in leads, sales, and referrals for your business.
Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a seven-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast. I'm about to tell you why writing a book should be a priority of yours in 2024. Maybe you're wondering, is publishing a book the next chapter for your business? Well, contrary to what you may think, writing a book doesn't have to take years, and you don't have to have this fancy schmancy publishing deal, and it is definitely, definitely not a waste of time. In fact, there are so many different ways that you can leverage a book, from passive income to credibility in your eyes of your readers to potential customers, that will prove that your words can become a driving force behind your empire that you're building. Writing a book is the long game, and a lot of you want to get in on the long game. And so today's episode is absolutely for you. Like, imagine what it would feel like turning your expertise, your experiences, your insights into this tangible masterpiece that not only positions you as an authority, but it propels your business to new heights. My guest today is coming back on the show, Chandler Bolt. He is not just an author, but he's a super strategic entrepreneur who has harnessed the transformative power of the self-publishing industry to amplify brand reach and revenue. And he is literally peeling back the curtain and teaching you how to do the same. Inside of this episode, Chandler is sharing how self-publishing a book can be your ticket to business expansion. If becoming an author is on your vision board for this year, or if you haven't even imagined it, but you're like, this sounds interesting, save your seat for Chandler's upcoming free class. It's how to launch your book to bestseller status in 3 easy steps. You can go to selfpublishing.com/Jenna. That's selfpublishing.com/Jenna. We've also linked it in the episode description in the show notes for you, or you can hop onto Instagram and just send me a DM with the word author, and I'll send you the link to his training. It's so good. We had tons of gold diggers on it last year, and you guys were raving fans, and so many of you started writing your books, and it's just like, oh, so exciting. Now, I cannot wait for you to unlock the key steps to becoming a published author in 2024. So welcome on back to the Gold Digger Podcast, Mr. Chandler Bolt. Oof, growing pains hurt. And when you're a marketer trying to generate leads for your brand new business, you know the pain all too well. Thankfully, there's HubSpot for Startups, a special program that gives startups discounts on HubSpot and so much more. But first, let's talk about the platform. The platform that unites your entire front office, from marketing to sales to support. The platform that streamlines your support tickets, generates more leads, and increases sales. The platform that scales right along with you. Oh, and don't even get me started on the educational articles, industry reports, videos, tips, templates, literally everything founders need to help scale. HubSpot for Startups has it all. So get ready to build a brand everyone loves and make your startup growing pains a thing of the past. Visit HubSpot.com/startups to see how much you can save. That's HubSpot.com/startups. Chandler, every single person listening to this podcast has a to-do list that is a mile long. I want to know, why should a book be way at the top of their list for people that already feel overwhelmed?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think it's not worth it until they do it.
It's true.
Maybe you're one of those people where it's like, oh, I don't know. I don't have the time. The timing's not right. I'm running a business. I've got a million things to do. But then you see the other side of it. Yeah. And I know we talked when you were launching your book. My friend Dan Martell, I just did an interview with Noah Kagan. So many people have told me the same thing, where it's not, I don't think it's worth it until I do it. And then I realize all of the things that it opens up on the other side of it, which yes. I'm sure we'll talk in this interview, lead sales referrals for your business, like all these things. So that's what I see.
Yeah.
Is that it's one of the best things that you can do to grow your business. It brings leverage to everything that you do, but you got to do it.
Yes. Okay. Let's dive deep into this. So first, Chandler, how did you come to this conclusion? Like, why are you obsessed with books? Why are you the book guy?
I'm an unlikely book guy. I'm a C-level English student and a college dropout with ADHD. So I hated reading and writing in college. I wasn't good at it. But then I felt like I went to college to learn how to run a business, pretty quickly discovered I'm learning how to run a business from professors who have never ran businesses, which was so dumb to me. I'm like, this makes no sense. So I dropped out. But as I dropped out, I felt like I'd ran a few businesses, one of them that did six figures in a summer while I was in college. And so I said, hey, I learned these things and I just want to teach it. And it feels like this might be a good mechanism to do that. And then I did it. The book did pretty well. Then did another book with my brother. That book did pretty well. And then people started asking, hey, how are you doing this?
Yeah.
And so that's where it kind of became, I became obsessed with books. And, you know, at selfpublishing.com, we've published about 7,000 books the last 9 years or so. So last month we published 84 books. Like, we just do this all day, every day. But I saw the impact that it had on my life and on my business. And so that just, that conviction grows stronger. And then as a reader, like, that's the author stuff, right? But as a reader, I mean, I realized that I was searching for a mentor and a book is a $15 mentor.
Yes.
It's like, yes, the smartest, most successful people on the planet have taken the best things that they know and put it into a book. And for $15 and a handful of hours, I can just learn from them. So I started seeing, and sorry to go long-winded here, but I just started seeing, like, if I would have a problem in my business, I would say, what's the best book on this problem?
Yep.
I would go read that book and then implement that book in the business and it would work.
Yes.
And then I'd do it again and do it again and just say, all right, what's the problem I'm trying to solve? What's the best book that solves that problem? And then I did it. And so it almost, like, I call it the college dropouts approach to learning. It's like, I dropped out of school, but I acted like I was still in school, but now instead of going to class, I started reading books. And so that's where, just on both sides, it's really opened up this whole world that I never thought I'd be into.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I can attest as an author that, like, authors put their best stuff in their books because if you think about this digital era that we live in, everything has such impermanence. You can delete a post, you can edit a caption, all these things.
Yeah.
And for so many of us, a book is like the first tangible thing that you're like, 10 years from now, this is going to be printed as is. And so I totally agree with you that, like, we are really distilling down and, like, it is fully formed thoughts, strategies, beliefs written into these books. And it feels like our most important work because, to the point, if you are going to write a book, it has to be important to you. Like, the message has to matter. And so I love that you bring that up because I agree. When now being on the other side, like, people spend so much time, money, and energy making their book the most important thing that they've done. And that's why on the other side of it, they're like, I can't imagine having not done this.
Oh yeah. And then maybe flip the table on your side. What's been the craziest thing for you since you've published? Like, was there a crazy thing that opened up, or like, thing that you thought was like, hey, I didn't really expect this, but this has been really rewarding?
You know, it's interesting, Chandler, because the other day I was at the trampoline park with my kids and we were leaving and a woman came up to me and said, I don't want to bother you, but I just want to tell you, I loved your book. And when I meet readers, it feels like a whole different depth of connection than just followers. And I feel like it's because my book, again, is like the culmination of my stories and stuff, but it's really like this manifesto of what I believe about life and what I want women to believe for their lives. And so I feel like my readers are like in a higher bracket in that depth and connection and community and access to me because they spent so much focused time with me inside of the pages of my books. And so it really does unlock next level of what you want people to know about you or how you do business or life or whatever it is. And so it's like when somebody tells me they read my book, to me, like, I just want to hug them because it means a lot that they spend that time with me, but that they also know me at that level.
Yeah. And know you as that person, right?
Yeah.
That was one of the weird things for me. I'd published multiple books, but it feels when this happened, but it feels like when it happens locally in your community, it just is just different. Right. And I was looking at houses and I had my realtor introduce me or the person I was looking at their house, they're like, oh, this is Chandler. He's an author.
Yes. Yes.
And it's kind of weird because I'm like, okay, like I am that, but I wouldn't identify as an author, you know? Yeah. I would say like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur or whatever else. But it's like, oh, he's an author. And that was one of those weird first moments where it's like, oh, in other people's minds, like this is a way bigger deal than I maybe even think in my own.
It totally is. Like I had a recent flight and I was sitting next to a man who was probably in his 70s and we got to chatting and everything. And I was kind of explaining what I do. And I started with the podcast and the courses and all these different things. And then when I said I'm an author and he's like, oh, did your book sell okay? Like how many copies did you sell? And I was like, we sold over 100,000. We hit the New York Times bestseller list. All of a sudden, like in his eyes, he got it. Like it was just like a different level. And I feel like as an author, like that is something that everyone can understand. Everyone has likely consumed books or, you know, looked at books in a bookstore. It's such a tangible thing in such a world of impermanence. And so, yeah, I totally agree on all of this. Okay. So cool. Question for you. So I have often heard of people talking about books like business cards. Mm-hmm. What do they mean when they say that? And why should our listeners really pay attention to this fact?
That's a great question. Yeah, a lot of people say a book is a new business card. I think it's better than a business card because if you think about it, when you give someone a business card at a conference or whatever else, I mean, let's just be real. They're probably throwing it away within 24 hours.
Yeah.
But you give them a book and they keep it, right? Yep. Or at least, you know, my parents taught me not to waste. So if someone gives me a book, it's like, all right. Shoot, I can't throw this away. It's in, even if I never plan on reading it, it's in my office, it's in my house somewhere, right? And every time I see that book, I think of them. And so just to me, a book is the start of a conversation, whether it's in person, like I'll come to conferences or masterminds or meetups or whatever, and I'll have a backpack with some books in them. Yeah. And if I meet someone, I'll just give them a book. Or when I go speak at conferences, we'll bring a few hundred books and we'll give them away for free. And we'll get hundreds or thousands of leads from that and a handful of customers. And so I think about a book as just, it's the ultimate business card because it teaches the methodology. It starts the conversation and it brings in leads, sales, and referrals for your business, which like I kind of break those down in a few different ways.
Yeah. But let's talk about it.
It's the best qualified leads.
Yeah. Yeah. Why?
Yeah. I think the why is, and now some people are a little bit short-sighted where they're like, oh, this is just a business card. Let me just have a 20-page PDF that's a sales brochure that adds no value, which that's not my approach. My approach is, you know, give away all your best stuff for free and people will pay you to tell it to them again, right? It's the, let's say someone's listening right now and they've got a course or a coaching program or something like that. You've already written the book. You just didn't know it yet, right? Mm-hmm. It might be in video format currently, but you've got a methodology or a process that you're walking people through. And so my thought process is go 30,000 foot view.
Yep.
And obviously your course is maybe in the trenches because the common question people will say there is like, well, hold up. If I put it in my book, why would they buy the course?
Yeah.
Right. But if you teach the 30,000 foot view and the book is more strategies, not tactics, because the tactics will get outdated and then you got to redo the book. Right. But the course is probably more tactical, but you teach them the methodologies and then they say, this is really interesting. I need more help. Mm-hmm. Or this is, you know, I love this. I'm sold on it. Can you just help me do this? Right. Yeah. And so there's so many people who it's funny. You talked about meeting that person that read your book.
Yeah.
I was speaking at a conference the other day. A guy walked in. He was like, hey, one of my clients, I told him I was writing a book and he recommended your book. I've been reading it. And here you are at this event.
Yeah.
He signed up to work with us. Right. So it's just, it brings authority. You've probably heard this, but the root word of authority is author. You can't spell the word authority without the word author, right? And so in the mind of your prospects and customers, you become an authority, just like that guy on the plane with you.
Yep.
I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Author, New York Times is selling author.
Name?
Like, okay.
I love that. You know, one thing that I think is super interesting, especially for people that are entrepreneurs, is that you can use your book for so many different tools in your business. So Chandler, you were kind of referencing the long game here. And one thing I think is so beautiful is in a world where algorithms are shifting day by day, strategies, tactics, like everything is always kind of up in the air. A book kind of roots you, right? Like it gives you roots. And I think that it's super powerful for a couple different reasons. So one, you can be really strategic and have different call to actions inside of your book where you're collecting leads. Right. So you're actually gaining access to get in touch with readers. Someone who is incredible at this is James Clear. Like, that guy is growing his email list by thousands and thousands and thousands of subscribers every single week through his book, Atomic Habits. Like, he is like the machine at this. And what's amazing is the book on its own without any additional resources is wildly powerful. There's a reason why it's been like number one for like years on end. But at the same point too, I will bet you every single reader is wanting his charts and his diagrams and the additional insights that he's offering on the internet. And like you said, with a book having more permanence, then you can use this internet as a way to supplement content and keep things updated without having to update your actual book.
Yeah. And so that goes back to the three buckets, right? Use the book to get more leads, more sales, more referrals.
Yes.
So this bucket of leads, there's two ways to do it. You know, way one is give away the book in exchange for contact information.
Yeah.
Now that could be a digital version, audio version, or a physical version of the book.
Yep.
This would be a little bit of a long answer, but like digitally online, we give away the audiobook and the ebook everywhere.
Yep.
All over the place. And it's one of our best lead drivers. But then in person, when we go to conferences, we give away the physical version. Yep. And so now all of a sudden, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I'm speaking at an event. Maybe there's 1,000 people in the room, 300 to 500 people, boom, just like that. We're getting their contact information. They're getting a book.
Yep.
And then people are walking around the conference seeing this red book, this red published book everywhere. Yep. And they're like, hey, what's that? So it just sparks up these conversations, right? But then the point you alluded to is how do you turn readers into subscribers?
Yeah.
Right. And so for a lot of people, you know, entrepreneurs, business owners, you're used to, we're used to either most likely paying for leads, right? But then with a book, you're either getting free leads or you're getting paid to get leads. Like in the example you used with James Clear. And so that is call to actions throughout the book.
Yeah.
Now I've got a whole chapter on this in my new book published. It's like, hey, how do you turn readers into subscribers?
Yeah.
But for people who are watching on the YouTube channel right now, I'll show you a couple things. So there's a couple things that we do that work really, really well. This first one, I know this might be a little bit hard to see.
Yeah.
It's like in the very beginning of the book, I personally give the audio book away for free. Now, what's the last thing you want to do when you start reading a book? Read the book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got five other things you could do. But if I could listen to it on the way to work, while I'm working out, whatever, I would probably prefer to do that. So this has inherent value.
Yeah.
And right off the bat, people think, hey, I like this Chandler guy. Like, he's giving me this thing that's worth 10, 20, 30 bucks on Audible for free. Right. So that's just like one simple way. The other thing that we do is what you see on the other side of that page is I give away a video summary, which this is really just it's a summary of some of the core concepts in the book, but it's my best converting webinar.
Ooh,
right.
Yeah.
So that's how we turn readers into customers, not just leads. And then one other super simple thing is we just have a page in the beginning of the book. It's kind of hard to see here, but we just say, hey, like, you want our help implementing this?
Yep.
Book a call with our team.
Yes.
And let's chat. Let's put together a custom plan for you. And so those are kind of the three main things. And a bonus tip in here is like, you've probably went on Amazon and done like the preview, like the look inside thing.
Yeah.
So if you do that, well, then guess what? We funnel hundreds, if not thousands of leads a month off of Amazon through that, because they will look inside and they'll think, Chandler's an idiot. He doesn't know that I can get his audiobook for free. I don't have to buy this book. But of course I know that, right? And I would much rather have their contact information. That's worth more than the $2 or $3 I'd make on that ebook.
Yeah.
You know, we'd pay 15, 20 bucks for a lead.
Yep.
And so now I'm getting that for free instead. So those are just like a handful of things that I do in that we teach to like, all right, how do you turn readers into subscribers?
Hey, gold diggers. Lately, I've been getting excited to finish furnishing our new home, which is why I want to tell you about a brand that we absolutely love, which is Article. I have been a fan and a customer of Article for years. I'm always blown away by the curated assortment of furniture styles they offer. They have mid-century, modern, coastal, industrial, Scandinavian, and even boho designs. There is something for everyone, no matter your taste. In our last house, we had their sofa and leather chairs. At our lake house, we have their dining table and chairs.
We also just ordered some of their outdoor furniture for our new patio. Like, if you can't tell, we are obsessed with Article. The quality and style are top-notch. Article's online-only model means that they can offer some great prices with fast and hassle-free delivery. Pick the delivery time that works for you, and they keep you updated every step of the way. Article's customer is also amazing. They're knowledgeable, friendly, and always there when you need them. If you're like me and you're itching to give your home a makeover, I highly recommend checking out Article. They believe in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their commitment to style, quality, and affordability, it's never been easier to transform your space. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/golddigger and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/golddigger for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Gold diggers, we all know the B2B landscape can be a bit complex. From lengthy buying cycles to complicated decision-making processes, reaching your target audience can be tough. But I found a solution tailored just for you. LinkedIn ads. A whopping 79% of B2B content marketers say LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. That's because with LinkedIn ads, you're not just casting a wide net and hoping for the best, you're strategically building relationships and driving real results. We're talking about a platform with over a billion members, including 180 million senior level executives and 10 million C-level executives. You are networking with the actual decision makers. And LinkedIn's targeting and measurement tools are specifically designed for B2B marketers, meaning you're not wasting time or money on irrelevant leads. In fact, in the tech industry, LinkedIn ads have been shown to generate 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend compared to other social media platforms. Using LinkedIn ads allows you to stay ahead of the curve when it comes to industry trends and developments, whether it's finding the perfect partner for a collaboration or uncovering new opportunities for growth, LinkedIn can be your secret weapon. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/gold to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/gold. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, so we need to talk about this because this is so good. Here's why self-publishing is amazing, is because you can do all of that. And in our last interview, we talked about the difference between self-publishing and traditional publishing. And I will say that you can be so much more savvy and strategic when you self-publish. And if you are someone who wants to write a book, to have strategy in place to really play that long game, you want to self-publish because you have the ability to do things like this. And it's so interesting because I think a lot of times people will listen to people like me even and be like, okay, well, I need to get a book deal and I need to have an agent. I need to do all these things in order for it to be a success. And there are so many things that Chandler just said that are so stinking brilliant that will actually drive way more results than going the traditional route for the average person. And so I love all of this because it gives you so much control. You get to make those decisions. You get to make those calls of how you want to distribute your book, how you want to pay per lead, how you want to get people into your ecosystem. And so this is like a huge reason why self-publishing is so powerful.
Yeah. And you can give the audiobook away, right?
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
if you sold the rights to your audiobook, that's maybe not an option. So yeah, you're preaching the choir here.
Yes, I know. Well, and I love this because I just think it's so powerful in that you just have total control. There's so much benefit here if you're looking at. Now, the second thing that I think is super powerful about a book, and we touched on it, but through a different lens. And so I'm going to kind of pivot that lens, is that when you have a book and somebody reads it, you are putting them in the position of qualifying themselves to subscribe to your strategy, to your lifestyle, to like whatever your book is about, right? Like you are poising them in this position of saying like, here is everything. Does this resonate with you? And I think nowadays, especially in the climate that we're in, people feel like selling has to be like predatory and like so hardcore. And we have to qualify people. And we have to go after people and all of these different marketing tactics that really don't resonate, especially resonating among a more feminine audience. And so what's so beautiful about a book is that you get to put it all out there, but you get to poise the reader in this position of being like, oh my gosh, I do want to learn more. So let's talk a little bit about that side of it.
Yeah, it's a great question. And so I would go back to those three buckets, lead, sales, and referrals. And yeah. I would put this in the sales bucket.
Yeah.
But it's not, to your point, it's not sales the way that most people think of it.
Yep.
It's sales by adding value first.
Yes.
And so that's the way I look at sales, and not even just me. I mean, that's the best way to do sales.
Yeah.
It's the rule of reciprocity, right? Yep. You add value. And so if you imagine like someone reads the book, they think, wow, if this was this helpful, I wonder what it's like to work with Chandler.
Yeah.
I wonder what it's like to work with Jenna. Like, let me see what else she's got that I might be able to, you know, that I might be able to work with her.
Yeah.
And so that's where it goes back to the, hey, give away all of your best stuff for free, put it in the hands of your best prospects and they will become your best prospects. Like
yeah.
My sales team is like, hey, if people have bought the book, listened to the audiobook or subscribed to the podcast, like those are the three lead sources that are like, hey, give us those calls all day long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those people are bought into the methodology.
Yep.
There's credibility and authority in who we are and what we do.
Yes.
And they want to work with us. And
yes.
So I would just say, like on the sales bucket, like integrate the book into, most people have some sort of sales funnel or sales process.
Yep.
We put it, the book, everywhere. So it's like, hey, if you register for this webinar, like we'll give you a free copy of the book if you show up. Right.
Yeah.
Or maybe you do it as a show up rate thing where it's like, hey, if you show up and stay all the way to the end of this webinar, we'll give you a digital copy and an audiobook.
Yeah.
Right. So there's just like all these little things that you can do to just grease the wheels of your sales process in a way that adds more value, builds more authority, and ultimately leads in more customers.
Oh my gosh. This is so good. Okay. So I'm already anticipating the next question someone's going to ask, and I'm going to frame it a little bit. So I was recently at a mastermind. There's one woman there who had a book deal. So she was going the traditional route. She was like, I just like cannot make time to write this book. Like everything feels more important. Like I have children, all these different things.
Yeah.
And it was so fascinating to me because like I was someone who literally wrote my book in like 20-minute increments. So I wasn't waking up at 4 a.m. and lighting a candle and like putting Zen music on. I was putting my kids to bed and making and writing my book while my husband cooked HelloFresh in the kitchen next to me. And then there mm-hmm. are certain people that like go to a cabin in the woods for a writing retreat. So can you give us like, if somebody is listening to this and they're like, okay, I think I want to write a book, but like, I literally don't even know one, how to make the time and two, like how to structure mm-hmm. that time. Where do we begin?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I know we've got a training that we're doing together that I'll kind of walk through that process of how to get started.
Yeah.
I would say, I mean, there's kind of the tortoise and the hare approach,
yeah.
which some people were like, hey, I'm locking myself in a cabin yeah. for a week and I just want to make as much progress as I can. I had one lady on my podcast who she went on a cruise,
yeah.
but never left her room.
Oh my gosh.
That's weird.
Yeah.
And one guy that would book a round trip flight to Japan or somewhere in Asia. And he was like, cause then I would not have internet. I would not be bothered. And I wrote the book.
So did like, he just kind of like get on the plane and then get off and get back on the plane?
Exactly.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh. Exactly.
This guy, Peter Schenkman.
That's hilarious.
He's a funny, funny guy. But so that, like, that's the approach that I think most people hear about. But to your point, I love your approach, which yeah. is we have this 30-day rough draft challenge.
Yeah.
Which is, hey, for 30 days, write 2 30-minute blocks.
Yep.
Now that's like a little bit of an aggressive version of what you were talking about, but let's say you write 1,000 words a day
yeah.
doing that. Well, then in 30 days, you got 30,000 words done.
Yep.
And that's most of the length of a normal book, right? Yeah. And so it's just about saying, hey, what are my strengths or what's the way that I'm actually going to do it?
Yeah.
And then there's the short-term sacrifice, which we hear that all the time too, is like either the timing isn't right or I don't have time to do this book.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a short-term sacrifice. But yeah. to the point that you made earlier, you have this asset for the rest of your life and long after you're off this earth. And it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not an Instagram post that might get buried in the feed. It's not a digital thing that's like, when I die, someone might accidentally press control alt delete.
Right. Thing.
And it's gone, right?
Yeah.
The book will be here forever. And so it's just like this huge asset in your business, but in your life. And so, yeah, it's a short-term sacrifice, but in my opinion, it's worth it.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting because I wrote wrote my book. So I think it took like 2.5 months of like 20-minute increments, basically. And I was about That's to amazing. Be pregnant and pregnant for part of it and chasing a toddler and still mm-hmm. running my entire business. Right. And so it wasn't mm-hmm. this huge sacrifice, but it felt so meaningful. And so it's so interesting. What do you think is like the number one mistake that people make when they decide to write a book, especially if they're going to self-publish it? Like, what should people avoid?
I think the big mistake people make is they don't start. And yeah. so they don't think that they can do it.
Yep.
And then after that, so like, let's assume that they start. It's they either try to write multiple books at one time, or they just try to chase a bunch of different rabbits.
Yeah.
And we found, obviously, I mean, thousands and thousands of books that we've published.
Yeah.
And there's this demarcation line on the rough draft.
Yep. Yep.
And after I say this, it's like, well, duh, Chandler, this is not like a revolutionary fact.
Yeah.
But that rough draft, this is the point where yep. if people don't finish the rough draft, they never finish.
Yep.
But if they do, it's almost like this big enough milestone where they start to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
And it goes from this theoretical thing to, oh shoot, this is actually happening.
Yeah.
So that's what we recommend for people. And when we're coaching people, we keep them just laser focused. Like if it ain't the rough draft, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's the only, the title doesn't matter. The book cover doesn't matter. Your marketing plan doesn't matter yet.
Yes.
It's
yes.
the rough draft.
Yes.
The rough draft. And so if someone's thinking about doing this, I'd say laser focus on that rough draft and yeah. just get that done. And then you can figure out the rest from there.
I mean, it's so funny because when I think back, like, so I, most people know this, but like I did everything in reverse intentionally because I want to be creative and I don't want to have time constraints or money involved in my creativity. And so I basically started my book writing process the last week of August. And I said by December 31st, rough draft is going to be done. And like that just gave me like a timeline of like, okay, I've got to commit about this much. And one thing that I do, and this might be helpful for listeners, and I even have it in my phone today, is like pay attention when you're talking to people or different stories that come up that people are really engaged in or they're laughing at or they're understanding. And I Ooh, have a cool. note in my phone of like stories for a book. And it's just like a bunch of different stories that I can tell. And so it's like having that as like a jump start. And it's like, okay, just tell this one story, like sit down today and just write mm-hmm. out one story. And it was mm-hmm. just like so helpful for me. Cause it's like, I think a lot of times, especially women, we want to think so linear of like chapter one, chapter two, mm-hmm. chapter three, four, mm-hmm. five. And it's like, it's hard to mm-hmm. see the full picture. And so I love where you're like, let it be a rough draft. Don't think about how pretty it needs to be or what it's going to look like on a book. Like, let the words be the words. The title mm-hmm. of my book didn't even come until like a month before my book went to print. The cover didn't come. The marketing didn't yeah. come. Like you yeah. have to just write.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I would say two or three points on that. Like yeah. one, I'm pretty sure we talked about this in the last podcast interview that we did. So guys, check out, it looks like episode 645.
Yeah.
We talked about the more writing method and the yes. process of mind mapping and all that stuff.
Yep.
And so that episode will go deeper in that. We don't need to rehash all that stuff. But I would say to your point, Jenna, it's, I love the, you know, they say it's, what's it? Facts tell, stories sell.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know if you relate to this, but I'm a very much like, I want to teach.
Yeah.
If I'm yeah. going to speak somewhere or if I've got, you know, on a podcast where it's like, all right, teach. Like I wanted to leave no doubt that
yes.
if someone shows up, that was extremely valuable.
Yeah.
And stories Same. To me feel like fluff yeah. and like a waste of time or like, hey, I'm wasting people's time when they really are just here to teach.
Yep.
But then I look at my own life, like what are the favorite talks that I go to?
Yep.
Favorite podcasts that I listen to? This like, there's this really compelling story.
Yeah.
So I've always been wrestling with this kind of urge to just teach the whole time. And what I know is really probably better, which is adding stories.
Yes.
And so what I started doing is it's very similar to what you mentioned. I'm glad you mentioned that. It's like, all right, here are all the things that I want to teach,
yes.
but then here are all the stories that I could tell.
Yes.
And then you almost play like a little connect the dots of like, oh, okay, cool. That story, the punchline is this point.
Yep.
That story, the punchline is this point. And so it just helps your book be more engaging and entertaining.
100%.
But I love your thought of like the phone note, because
yes.
oftentimes when you're in the process of writing, it's like, well, I need a story here.
Yeah.
But what's the story?
Yes. I have a whole note of stories. And I'm like, or I'll tell yeah. something randomly. And then I'm like, oh, people were like laughing at that. I guess I mm-hmm. never, like I told this mm-hmm. story at this mastermind about how I randomly, as a child, wanted to be in 4-H for a year. And my parents were like, we don't have horses or like anything. And I was like, I don't care. I want to do 4-H. And they're like, all right, we'll bring you to the community center on Wednesday nights. And I had to like learn the whole pledge and all these things. And I had to show my bunny at the fair. And like everyone had these like purebred bunnies. And I had this super fat, like overweight mutt of a rabbit. And I got a red ribbon and everyone else got blue ribbons. And I got a red, which is basically like a consolation prize. And then I was like, I'm done. And I was like telling this story and I was like, oh, I like people were just laughing. And then I was like, oh, like how many times in life do we get these random rabbit ideas of like going? Yep. And, you know, and it's just funny because then I like made a note the next day. I was like, oh yeah, that was like a great story to tell. And like, it just helps for you again. Like I was just thinking, I'm doing an interview soon with an author and I was reading her book to prepare for the interview. And every chapter, I just kept trying to find the stories in it. Like I was, you know, going through it. And every time it was a story about herself or her husband or her team member, or whatever, that was where I was like super engaged. And that was where I wanted the conversation to be fueled by. And so I do think it's so powerful for people. Like we all have stories to tell. And I think we don't recognize that we're doing a disservice when we're living in this digital age where everything is in 10 second clips. Like your story is so much more than that. And it's so powerful when you actually sit down and ask yourself, you know, what have I been through? What have I learned? Like, what has life taught me? What am I still working on? Like, what has been really hard? What has been beautiful? Like, it just is such a legacy play. And I think a lot of us want to attach more meaning to the work we're doing. And I just feel like a book is like the best vehicle for it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's just interesting you mentioned that, Jenna, because that's a great example of how a story could have multiple meanings.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That could be your big bunny story or it could be your red ribbon story.
Yes. Yes.
And those might have two different, it's like this creative thing that you've always wanted to try and I got this big bunny. Or it could be your red ribbon story, which is, okay, how many times in life have we went through this thing where we know that we're really just getting a participation ribbon, but it was the start of a skill set or a thing that this is just, that's what's so fun about these stories is when you have that, that backlog, you can say, all right, well, this is a good story and it gets a good reaction, but I can say, where's the punchline in here in a way that serves the talk or the book or whatever else.
Totally. That's exactly how I wrote my book is like story. And then I was like, what do I want to teach through this? And then like, what is a tool or something that someone can take away from this? And that framework just helped like narrow in my ADHD brain of like, this could go in a million directions or why does anyone want to read this? And like turning it back to the reader. And I think too, people might not want to say this, but they could feel like writing a book is egotistical, right? Like you're just like focusing on yourself. But it's like, if you do it in a way, like your stories are really just illuminating someone else's life experience that is a shared experience through a different something. And it's beautiful because it is an act of serving. And I just think, it's such a beautiful thing. What would you say to somebody who is listening to this and they're like, on the fence, I think I might, I could, I don't know. Like, what is your like call to action in the sense of like, let's get people off the ledge here. Cause there are a lot of people on the ledge right now.
Yeah. I would say take 15 minutes as soon as you're done listening to this podcast and create a mind map. And on that mind map, just list out all the things that you can think of on the topic that you might write about. So stories that you have, lessons that you've learned, books that you've read, ideas that you have, anything that you can think of on that topic, and just do that. And what you might see, and we'll build on this in the training that we're doing together, is like, I'll walk people through that exercise and then we'll say, hey, how do you turn this into a plan? But what you probably will see is that you've got a whole lot more that you can write about than you think, but it's just that first process of getting it. I call this the more writing method. M-O-R-E is an acronym and the M stands for mind map. So that first step is just getting ideas on the page. And I think for a lot of people that'll turn the lights on.
Yeah. I love that. I know. I feel like it just takes like one act of courage. For me, it was opening up a Google Doc and titling it, I am writing a book, not I'm going to, but I am writing a book. That was literally the title of the Google Doc for many months.
I love that.
And so it's just from going from that going to am and really pivoting in that way. Chandler, where can everybody learn more about this? And let's talk a little bit about the training. So many of you gold diggers went through this last year. And oh my gosh, it's just so powerful to see what is coming out of this community and the legacies and the strategies and the missions and the messages. It's so powerful. So tell me a little bit about the training.
Yeah. So we're hosting a training. It's in April. If you're listening to this after April, we'll evergreen it and you can go there. And on that training, we'll talk about three things. We'll talk about self-publishing versus traditional publishing. So we'll kind of peel that back a little bit more.
Yeah.
We'll walk through the more writing method and how do you actually get this book written. And then we'll talk about the three steps to successfully launch the book. And so how do you actually launch it and get reviews and all that stuff. So that's the training. It'll be a lot of fun. Like you mentioned last time, it was awesome.
Yeah,
we had a lot of just a bunch of people there and a bunch of people say, hey, I'm going to work on this book. And we've been working with them on their book since then. So there's two simple ways to get there. Like the simplest is if you go to selfpublishing.com/Jenna, we'll have the registration page and all that stuff. But as like a bonus gift, kind of practicing what I preach here, I'll give a copy of my new book to everyone. If you go to publishedbook.com/Jenna, that's like, we'll give you a free digital copy and audiobook. And then on the thank you page is all the webinar stuff.
Oh, sweet.
So either way, both routes lead to this training that we're doing and should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh my gosh. You know, it's so wild because I never thought I'd be an author. I swore I would never. And I can honestly say it's my proudest piece of work. And it is something that I've become known for. And like I said, it just feels like such a deep connection with anyone who reads it and experiences it. And it's something tangible. My daughters will get to read someday and just learn more about their mom and who I am at this stage of life. And so it is something that I had all of the obstacles against me for, and yet it was the most worthy use of my time. In fact, I think if everyone listening were to go to their phone and look at like their time scrolling, you actually do have time to write a book. I'm just going to throw this out there.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, dang. But yes, please go to selfpublishing.com/Jenna or publishbook.com/Jenna. And Chandler and I are just so excited to guide you and to really show you how you can launch your book to bestseller status in three easy steps. And they are actually quite easy. You're overcomplicating this whole thing. And so let us just like pull the veil back and simplify it all. Any last things to leave our listeners with today, Chandler Bolt?
Get started. Start with that mind map. Show up to this training. We'll build on that mind map. That's gonna be a lot of fun. It was fun thinking about Jenna, your daughter, learning to read. And then one of the first books that she ends up reading being your book. Like, I don't know, just when you said that, I was like, oh man, what a cool moment that's going to be as a parent.
Yeah.
It's like they're discovering more about you and about this new skill set of reading. I don't know. That's fun.
I think of like, if you think of all the people that you love in your life that you've lost and like what you would give to just like enter their life for a day, like, it is such read a legacy play. And if your legacy doesn't matter or doesn't deserve time, then I think there's some reframing that needs to happen. So thank you so much for coming back on the podcast, Chandler. I can't wait to see what books this community writes.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
It's kind of crazy, but I get a little bit emotional if I think about you writing a book. You, my listener with a story to tell, you, someone who might be so in the trenches that you can't even see how powerful your legacy is, especially to the people who love you, but to the people who don't even know you yet. I sincerely hope you sign up for Chandler's training. It is so powerful. And the way that he simplifies literally everything is bar none. Head to selfpublishing.com/Jenna. That's selfpublishing.com/Jenna. Save your seat. I'm so excited to join him on this training. I just think it's such a powerful message. And writing a book changed my life, and hopefully it changed your life too. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Of course, until next time, keep on digging your biggest goals. I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to golddiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for gold diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at golddiggerpodcast.com.